Hey, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to the Reluctant Agilist. Today I'm here with Snehal Talati. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on here.
It's been a little while. So it's been 7 months since we talked, and the entire universe has changed. I just want to give a little backstory, and then I'll let you fill it in. So at the Scrum gathering in Portland last year, I walked up to Colleen Johnson, and I asked her if she knew anybody who was doing stuff in AI, and she turned around, and she pointed to you and introduced me to you, and we met. We talked for a few minutes. We did a podcast about a month later about what you were starting to kind of kick up, and you had introduced yourself to me as the AI Agile guy, and everything has changed, and now you got videos on the Scrum Alliance website. You're crazy busy. AI is taking over the world. So what's been going on?
Yeah, I think from the last time we met, Dave, AI is just on an exponential. It's like every 6 months is an exponential change. I've been blessed to be on this journey. I think partnering with Scrum Alliance to kind of send, you know, a message to the world, and especially the Agile community, kind of, you know, where to start. And I think that's a great course to start, to kind of get a background of what is, you know, what is going to come and how do we prepare for it. I can't stress enough. It's an exciting time to be in. There's a lot of good things that are coming from AI, but at the same time, we're probably also going to hit a turbulence period of bad things happening as well.
Yeah.
And we've seen that too in the last couple of weeks.
Well, let's talk about the course first. So I just took the course. I went through it this weekend, and it was awesome. It was really well done. I was very impressed. I learned a ton in that course. Like, I didn't understand the different layers of AI that you went through, where they came from. You offer lots of examples of different places to go check stuff out, and tie it all back to Agile, which was really great. I mean, how was it making it? Was that okay? Fun?
Yeah, making it was a lot of fun. It was a very short time box that I had. I always wish I had more time on these things, and hoping that as we progress, as I do more courses and more things, I'll have more time. But it was a ride, and I think it was a rewarding journey. I think the team at Scrum Alliance and myself, we had a blast making that happen, and it was just so timely. I was just so happy that we were able to do it and we were able to put it out for the world to see.
Now, I have one question about it. What was up with that house? Whose house is that? Because it's a big empty house.
Yeah, so that's a shout out to the production studio, Round 7 Productions. Greg is an amazing guy. We rented that place out, and so no, it was a great place to shoot and kind of put that all together.
Okay,
in one place.
I'm looking like, is that actually anyone live there? But I so for anybody who's interested in learning more about this stuff, getting kind of like a quick kickstart to it, I really enjoyed the course. It didn't take too long to get through. It was very entertaining. There's quizzes all throughout, so it keeps you nice and engaged. It's done in small chunks. It was really great. And one of the things that you brought up in the course that I had noted that I wanted to talk about was the way that you reference people engaging with AI. So I had kind of come into it thinking, and we talked about this last time, I think, too, but it still in my head kept reverting back, that AI was like the thing. I would be like, go do the thing and just dump it all on the AI, and the AI was supposed to go figure stuff out. But you talk about partnering.
Yeah.
So can you dig into that a little bit, and then maybe the agents and the
So when I say, you know, partnering with AI, that's really the co-pilot world that we're living in now. Like, we're seeing a lot of co-pilots being developed, right? Microsoft has a co-pilot, GitHub has a co-pilot. Everywhere you go, I feel like LinkedIn's AI that just got released this week on LinkedIn Premium is a co-pilot, right? It's assisting the human to get insights quickly. How do I see the co-pilot phase evolve? Just think about it this way. Like, wearables are coming with the Humane Pin, the Rabbit R1 device, where you will have your personal AI assistant, right? So it's like...
Oh, that's okay. So I read the Rewind thing. So if you had the Humane Pin, that would connect to your Rewind.
Yeah, and the Rewind actually has a wearable, the pendant, that they haven't released. But that pendant is going to be like your AI companion that knows everything what you do and kind of tracks. So it's really partnering. It's like some people say that these wearable devices will probably be an extension to a second brain. But it really, to me, we're in this co-pilot phase where it's important for us to partner and to embrace AI in certain areas. Like, and it, even if you don't know it, right, like you are partnering with it even today.
So what's a really simple example?
Simple example would be, let's take a software engineer, right, using GitHub Copilot. Now, is Copilot going to give this person the code straight off of a prompt? Probably not, right? But is it going to help him identify maybe certain ways to rewrite a particular module? Sure,
like right? Grammarly.
Like, Grammarly. Yeah, like Grammarly, Copilot. Right? Okay. And it's an extended version of Grammarly. It's not like it's Grammarly will fix the errors, but like Copilot will actually help you rewrite the entire thing based off of the context you provide. Like, we need to be able to partner with it, know how to communicate with it to get the response that we're looking for.
And it will teach us while we're teaching it, right?
Exactly. And I think I mentioned that in the class, right? It's like we will teach and they will teach us back. And I think we're getting close to kind of paint the light. It's not all perfect, right? But it's up to us to figure out where AI is really good at when we partner with it and where it's not. Like, we still have, you know, our human touch to it. And I still am a believer that we will always have that. It's just going to come in different ways.
But right? I'm sort of thinking, like, the people that are going to, like, rise to the top in terms of the ones who can really squeeze all the goodness out of AI are the ones who develop skill with the way they craft the prompts, the way that they play the AI, basically. Like, there's going to be somebody who's like the Eddie Van Halen of AI, or some version, Dolly or whatever, of AI.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you definitely think about it this way. We're at this point where we have an abundance of AI tools, AI models. And it's up to us whether we take the time to learn, right? To me, every model has a different character. Right, you play, if you interact with Grok on Twitter, it's completely different than you interacting with Claude on Anthropic's side. Every model has its own uniqueness in terms of how it's been trained, you know, how it responds to a user's request, depending on the domain that you're in, whether you're in the coding domain or whether you're in the image generation domain. Right, you're an artist, you want to create images, and what we saw with OpenAI's, Sora, building AI generated videos, right? It's all different. Everyone has a different uniqueness to it. And it's up to us to learn those intricacies to be able to apply it. Right now, I think the biggest question is, like, enterprise in companies have no use case. But my challenge to that is, have we explored enough figure out what use case we can use this for?
I can already think of a whole bunch of ways you would use it in an enterprise. That seems like the next logical step. But before we go down that path, how do you stay abreast of all the new versions that are coming out? Because it just seems like, I mean, I'm sure even since that video, which overwhelmed me with all the ones you're like, go look at this, go look at that. I'm like, no. And I'm sure there's like 50 more since then, right?
Oh yeah. There's so many. I stay up to date with using AI to stay up to date with AI, right? So, like, how do you do that? So I think Perplexity is giving Google a run for its money. And I say that because it's changing the experience of how we interact to search for information, right? So if you think about it, Google, you kind of, you know, search for something and you get all of these links that are SEO optimized. And in Perplexity, you kind of get the same results, but it's more of an interaction, like you're interacting with a chatbot. So I can ask Perplexity, hey, what was the latest AI tools released in this last week? And it will search that information and provide you, kind of give you a gist of what it's like. So the interaction is different. I don't have to decipher on my own. And we're seeing that, like, across the board, like LinkedIn, you can have takeaways of the post. So, like, I don't have to read that post, I can just hit the takeaways button and it'll give me the top three, like, you know, what's the gist of this post about.
Version.
Yeah. So, and that's I think where we're headed. Human race is kind of interesting when it comes to attention
continuing
span.
To reduce our attention span
yeah.
one step at a time.
Yeah. So to the point where I was telling someone, so I have this Apple Vision Pro. I've been also exploring the spatial computing space.
Okay.
To me, it's like one day we'll be able to look at, since it tracks your eyeballs,
yeah,
just look at a post on LinkedIn and it'll tell you if it's worth your read or not, or if it's worth even, you know, basically it'll know enough about you.
You'll be able to literally judge a book by its cover. You'll go into Barnes and Noble and look at a book and it'll know the style of writing and be like, yeah, you're going to hate that.
Yeah.
The book next to it's the one you want.
And that's, as a futurist, that's what I see. Maybe it may not happen, but like with all the wearable devices that are coming and with the multimodality features, like, you know.
Which is awesome. And at the same time, it crushes the idea of just stumbling upon that thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't want to go
down
that path.
Yeah.
All right. Two simple questions before we get into the agent stuff. Is it any closer, and I'm just asking you because you're the expert. Is it any better at drawing hands yet? And when will it be able to actually spell my name right, even though the account's in my name when it does a transcript, it still spells my name wrong?
So we're really close. Like we could fix that today, right? If your name is getting spelled wrong, there's ways to correct that. But to your question, I think, where the amount of time, like the last time we talked versus now, there's been huge strides,
exponential change,
and exponential changes. So like 6 months from now, if we have this conversation again, like we'll be talking about something completely different. And that's the crazy part to this, is like we as humans have to give it and be patient enough. If we go at this pace, we cannot eliminate the fact that AI is kind of giving us bizarre information. It is actually, if you spend enough time in it, you will learn the intricacies and know how to maneuver through these things, and get the response that you're looking for. It's important for you to know the desired outcome that you're looking for to be able to communicate with these things. And it's getting better, right? Like it's like you need to give it context today. But maybe 6 months from now, you can give it gibberish and it'll still be able to pick up what you want.
But that's another point you make in the course, that you have to be pursuant of your outcome and teach it how to provide the outcome.
Yeah.
Because exactly. It has access to info. It's just you got to tell it how to shape it, right?
Yeah. Or provide it more context, right? Okay. So many people will, like, I'll give you an example. You prompt ChatGPT to ask about Agile. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you every model, because it's trained in that way, will always say, oh, your question regarding Agile methodologies. And then the question becomes, is Agile a methodology? Well, it is, because that's how it was trained in a lot of these models. And a lot of Agilists will question that, saying that,
it's a framework. It works.
So here's a test, right? Go test that. Go ask ChatGPT what Agile is. And if you don't see the word methodology in there, then I lost my point here. But I'm pretty sure I have confidence that it's most likely going to say that Agile is a methodology, right?
Okay.
And that's just a plain example, because it's just trained off of that type of data, right?
Yeah.
And if we give it, like, let's say I want to change that, all I have to do is just give it the right context and say, don't refer to it as a methodology from this point on. And, you know, use like something, what we call a RAG approach, by giving it data, our own data. So maybe Dave has its own data and I can merge that with the models to give the desired output.
Okay. What's exciting to me, and like especially listening to you talk about it, it's sort of like the internet. I mean, I'm old. So when the internet started, this is what it was like with the internet. It was like a hot mess the entire time. People were coming up with cool new stuff that 5 minutes later you were like, well, that's dumb. And then it was just really vibrant and really cool, and everything changed every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching a video when the internet came out. It was like an advertisement from a news studio. They were talking about the, like, what to call the at symbol.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah. So, like, if you talk about that, it's like funny to see that and say, wow, what times we're in, right?
You can,
like,
go to AOL /com. Yeah. That's where the internet was back then. All right. So agents and co-pilots. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that was for me, that was like a big, like, oh yeah, okay, part of the course.
Yeah. So we didn't go a little bit, we didn't dive deep into those two concepts, but Copilot is anything that we can use to augment what we do, okay. right? So it's like literally we using AI chatbots or, you know, most of them come in the chatbot form, right?
Like Siri? Siri, would that
yeah that could that? Yeah so Siri is a I would consider it a co-pilot, right? You're asking things to do and it's almost like a companion bot that can help with variety of tasks but it's really predicated on helping us kind of refine our outputs. It doesn't really do end-to-end task completion, where that's the difference, right? An agent is more of end-to-end. You know, we'll take a task and kind of reach out to, you can have other agents that it talks to collect that information and then come to you with a final output. So you're basically, instead of giving it the context and you kind of going back and forth, you give it a task, it takes the task and does like its own automated workflow end to end and kind of gives you the output. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
If anyone's interested, this is a company that I adore, artisan.co. They are a company that are building digital workers. It is the first company of its kind to emphasize the agent framework within their product. And it's really digital employees. So the first one that they released was Ava, which is a salesperson. But what Ava does is Ava joins your Slack channels, learns about your team members, learns about your company, and then is pretty much autopilot in the sense that it will send emails, you know, sales inbound, outbound emails for you. And it'll give you a report at the end saying that I connected with X amount of customers. So really automating your BD process. So we're there. I mean, there are startups like Artisan that are looking at, you know, different ways. And sales was the first, you know, Artisan that they created, but they got a lot more down their, you know, product roadmap. And to me, that is the beginning of what I call, you know, we will have AI powered teams. You know, we will have AI as part of our teams that are much more intelligent than we are. And for us as humans, we will need to adapt a mindset on how we can, you know, how do we tie that human machine interaction together? Like we will definitely need to delegate tasks to AI. We can't really delegate tasks to human, but you know, that will be a skill set and how we, you know, delegate these tasks to AI and get the outcome that we're looking for.
And eventually teach it to pass the Turing test, and then it takes us over and makes us
itself. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought up the Turing test, Dave, because I always say, like, you know, we want to avoid the Turing trap, because the Turing test is already kind of like the Mustafa Suleiman in his book, The Coming Wave, says the Turing test is when AI can go out and make its own money. Right.
It's going to move out, live on its own.
Yeah. So like we need to redefine the Turing test, because the Turing test as it stands, like, it doesn't really work. We've already surpassed it in certain areas. And so that's why I think Mustafa in his book mentions that we should redefine the Turing test to be, can AI go make X amount of money and do that for us?
Or can it get me a job to make X amount of money? So if I can have workers, digital workers, then I'm just going to run this down. Theoretically, I could have like a digital scrum master who would be part of all of our interactions, conversations, even learn how to interpret body language and facial expression and offer up suggestions on social changes to the team or ways we could improve the flow of work through the system. I mean, maybe not now, but eventually.
Eventually. I mean, if there's no ends to, like, you know, this progression, like right now, Ava is more like Slack asynchronous comm space, right? So joins your Slack channels, any text that comes up, emails, right? Any kind of, so it's there's no visual yet, right? There's no, that modality of vision is not there yet. But maybe, who knows, maybe that could be something that comes down the road.
Vision in that it doesn't appear, or it can't see.
It can't see, right? Okay. I mean, the capability of that's still, I don't think I have seen that yet. But I mean, I don't, you know, there's things that are being built every day. But I think
AI can interpret visual representation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that a simple use case for that, you know, for the listeners, I think one of the biggest use case and vision I've seen is take a snapshot of your Kanban board and just ask ChatGPT if you have four, you can ask, use the vision capability to see, you know, how can I help this team or what can you derive? Give it some context about the team and say, what can you derive? And sometimes it's actually pretty spot on, right? And use that. That's an example of how you can leverage a co-pilot, right? To enhance the coaching to another level. That's just a simple example, but give it a shot.
So all over the places in the earth where we have people who are coaching other people, at some point, a lot of that work will be done by technology. We won't need, once all of our mental awareness of how to coach and stuff is in these systems, a lot of it can be handled by these systems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I believe.
Then we're like the people on the deck of the Wally ship with our soft drinks and our lounge chairs just floating around.
And I think there's a greater philosophical debate on that, right? There's some folks in our AI Agile community where we have these like philosophical debates of, you know, what's the post-labor economics look like if AI were to take over? And I think that's a little bit in-depth conversation. Love to chat about even that on another podcast. But I think that's there's an important need for that type of conversation to occur, right? Yeah. Like a lot of folks are talking about universal basic income in the AI space. Like if this were to go that direction, like how do we, you know, post-labor economics, what does that mean? What does that look like? What areas are going to hit the most? Like, you know, the impact's going to be like if AI can do pretty much everything and if money wasn't a need, like what happens then? And these are all philosophical debates, but I think it has some truth to it.
Sorry, I didn't, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
For all the positive things that you're talking about, like universal income, there's also all the nefarious things that people, like you might sit around and say, well, should we actually teach it to put a head on another person's body in an image? And then somebody's already got a whole website about that. So there's nothing checking it right now.
Exactly. And I think when it comes to ethics and security and like just understanding privacy concerns, that is up to us. Right. And that's what I've been on a mission to educate folks to say, look, even regulations like Mark Cuban said, we can't regulate this thing. He just flat out said, if you're not learning AI, you're going to fail. And, you know, you definitely can't regulate something like this. But what I say is that, all right, if we can't regulate it as humans, like how do we set our boundaries? And the only way you can set the boundaries is if you understand and learn about it. Right. Learn about like what these models are doing behind the scenes. Take that, go that one extra layer in understanding, right? Don't stop with the course that we have here. There's tons of information that's out there. Deeplearning.ai is a great resource for anyone that wants to take a deeper dive, but really understand, you know, all of these things at a foundational concept to you providing the guardrails for you, right? Like I had someone the other day, it's like I will never put a chip in my brain. Right, not going to that extreme. Like that is
totally do that.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. It's like it's on a. I think it's a person to person level,
right,
and it's
here.
In some aspects we do wear wearables, but some people will have to like, you know, put the boundaries. And I think for some it's okay, for some it's not. Right. And right now it's like regulations have a long ways to catch up to what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if we. I mean, I hope we will catch up and I hope there are some breaks that are put, but like, I know Europe is doing a great job in that context. Certain countries have taken, but it's like, it's almost like a race, right? And I think if you stop innovation now, you also stop, you know, the global competition. You know, there's a lot of that going on as well. So I think it's important that we understand that ethics has to be in place, but it has to be done at the individual level. And it's up to you.
Yeah.
How you said that.
I think that's what it makes me a little bit sad about it, because I think I can say like, well, yeah, just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should do a thing.
Yeah.
But I know, I mean, like it, to the depth of my soul, I'm sure there's five guys who are like, oh no, we're totally doing that.
Yeah.
Just because we can, like, let's blow it all up. Why not? See what happens.
And that's been the case for the last, like, last time we talked to now, like, even though we maybe shouldn't have done something, we just went ahead and did it. And there's companies that are doing it, right? Yeah. Like, if we're not, I know when I started, and I use this example, when I first created that Agile GPT, this was like a year and a half ago at a conference, I did get laughed at saying that this is not, and then a couple months later, it's like, everyone has
one. Yeah, Mike Cohen's like got his own one now. Like everybody. Yeah,
so everyone's doing it. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and so new to me now, my test is like, if I'm building something and people laugh at it, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm on to something, right? So,
yeah.
So no, it's like, and that's another thing. This is the era to build, right?
Okay.
And building is so easy. Like I teach that in my community. Like when people join, I always emphasize, guys, go out and build. This is the time to build.
Cool.
Right.
I want to ask you about that, because there's, for me personally, there's been a thing where like I watch the people I know kind of stumbling through it, and everybody's book sounds like it was written by a computer. And I'm like, it's just not really there. Like at some point it will be, and there'll be people that will know how to use it, and I will like work with those people. But from what you're saying now, and I guess the pace at which it's changing, I'm now thinking, oh crap, I really do have to go actually figure out how to drive this thing.
Yeah, I think you're right, right? Like we don't want everything to be so artificial, right? But I think that's where the human component comes in, is like when you're building, like the ease of building is so much easier. It's like what Jansen from NVIDIA said, right? Technically we don't need software engineers like in the future if AI can do a lot of the coding, right? He mentioned that and made a really bold statement at one of his conferences. Which I think there's some truth to that, but I think there's also if that is to be true, and if that, you know, obviously we're seeing steps towards that, well, how can we leverage AI to build for ourselves? Like it's getting easier. So how can I start building at rapid, pace? Like, for example, I had a spatial computing, meetup where I think anyone can build a spatial computing app. Right. If you really wanted to, and it doesn't take as much technical knowledge as someone may think to do it. Like there's frameworks out there that you can just plug and chug and build a proof of concept to test on the Apple Vision Pro, for example. Like what used to take, like I would say years, is like with the tools that are available today, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
And my message to everyone is just explore, just build. Like, why use ChatGPT if you can build your own, right? And I know several people have in the community, but it's like, to me, at some point, everyone's going to have their own AI, you know, application that they're using. And there's so many. Like, you know, I use so many AI tools. It's like to amplify myself. I will say that I 10 to 20x myself using AI.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not, I'm not making that up. I truly believe with all the tools that I have, it does help me. Like I'll give you a workflow of automation that I do. I'll go on a walk and I'll be talking about a specific topic. Like I have so many things on a day to day. So I'll go on a walk. I record it. I drop the recording into Dropbox, I have a Zapier integration.
So hold on a second. You're just walking down the street talking to yourself.
Yeah. I'm walking, talking to myself, you know, about the day and whatnot, like action items that I might need to do throughout the week. Basically just talking to myself. And then what happens is that file gets in, it's uploaded straight into the Dropbox on my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I have a Zapier integration that picks up that file. That it transcribes the file. Zapier will take it, use OpenAI to transcribe, and then use ChatGPT to prompt it and write out all of these notes and action items that it hears me speak about. And then I have it output into my Notion file. And then at the end of it, it'll send me a message on Slack saying that we have successfully captured your notes for that walk. So then I go in and I go into my Notion file, and now I have all of my action items for the week that I need to do. I even have it so it gives me like ideas of LinkedIn posts that I could possibly make. And so it's like it's using AI and automations in that aspect, but I'm just giving you an example.
That's amazing, dude.
And I think everyone can do it. It's just a matter of exploring. And I'm a true believer. I think it's something that we have to learn. And and for me, it's just, I'm in that space. So I just love playing around with all the different tech products, but that's just one example.
When you were talking, one of the things I was thinking about was trust. Like, I still don't trust computers. I don't trust it to get all the really important action items, but you trust it.
And I trust it. And it took me a while to build that trust. And that's what I mean. Like, you have to start using it, right? You got to start using it.
You probably have to speak to it a certain way.
Yeah, it's that. And it's also like, you have to understand that these models are going to get better over time. So you interacting with today might not work, but you interacting with it 6 months from now, it might be even better than what it was that at the first time you used it. But that's the concept that needs to be drilled in everyone, is that don't give up, right? Keep pushing, keep trying. It's like
playing an instrument. Just keep after it.
Yeah, keep after it. Like, it's just, and it's so important. Like, I really think it's important for everyone, because what is to come? We're just getting started, man. Yeah. It's like, the stuff that's coming is going to be even... I'm excited, actually. I'm going to the NVIDIA conference next week to really see what's next, right? I know NVIDIA is building a lot of things, especially around the trust factor for a lot of folks. Like, they're working on hardware that you can deploy on-prem, and you can have large language models deployed on a single piece of hardware that doesn't have to be on the cloud. So that will help some people. Okay. Kind of adopt, because they feel like, oh, it's a little bit safer. More secure. Yeah. It's more safe. So it's like that, those technologies are also growing, right? In the hardware space, like NVIDIA is trying to really bring that cost down. So I'm really excited to kind of see what NVIDIA has to play. But all of these things are coming so fast.
Yeah.
It's like, and to me, it's like, you have to start somewhere, right? Just start. Use ChatGPT if you have to, and just keep using it.
Well, if you said a few minutes ago that, you know, you might not need to know programming languages, I'm assuming, though, that there is some kind of language or communication thing that having more depth in would make it easier for somebody to acclimate to this way of working.
So right now it's the English language, right? Because we prompt in English. Now, in the world, I'm also seeing different language models. So I'll quote Jensen again. Jensen said that every country should have sovereign AI, meaning that every country will have its own models with its own language capabilities, and it doesn't have to be the English language, which I think is a good, it's a good thought, because it brings more accessibility, right? Right now, there are some limitations of certain models in different countries and different regions because of cultural norms and language constraints. So who knows if that, I mean, I already see India working on something like that, where they're actually deploying a OpenAI ChatGPT competitor called Hanuman, which is, I think about 12, or I don't want to misquote myself, 12 to 20 languages, because India has a lot of dialects and languages. So they're building their own regional LLM, like ChatGPT type service for locals, right? So now, is that going to be across the board? Maybe. Like, you know, maybe we'll see a little bit more regional based models for every country. So again, it's all dependent on a lot of things. The biggest bottleneck is computational power. And that's going to be like the chip war is going to be interesting. Because I already see it, Qualcomm, NVIDIA, all of these big players when it comes to
that's good. Getting that's chips. Been going so well so far. So that should be great. Duke it out even more. What do we need to be scared of?
So obviously there's a lot of bad things that can happen and are happening. The turbulence period is here. Yeah. Like, we saw it with Gemini release on their images. There was racial profiling in the images.
From what I just, because I was just listening to a thing about that this weekend from Hard Fork, that was done with the best of intention to respond to the current climate of how people feel about this stuff. It was not like, let's get rid of all the white people. It was, let's make sure it's not only white people.
Right.
And it just went sideways.
Yeah. And what we call that in the AI space, there's like a red teaming effort, right? To really test these models. And something, you know, it was funny because Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google, who is like worth $1 billion, came to a tech meetup to apologize. Have a lot of respect for that, right?
Yeah.
To say something went wrong and, you know, openly apologize. But I think that was just one case. Another case was a call from a loved one using their cloned AI voice. Like, we're seeing that happen, which is something that I have warned my family too. Like, if you get a phone call from me that sounds like my voice, use a code word, right? If you feel like, or just hang up the call and call my cell phone. If you think it's, you know, put these parameters in place. Like, I've,
and that would be used for things like, it's been used for things like credit card scams and banking,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's getting better, right? That, like, the bad actors are going to use, as this technology progresses, you're going to see even crazier things, like, you know, smarter. Right now, the calls may sound robotic, but maybe in the future, like, you know, and it has happened, like, the voice sounds just like my voice.
Yeah.
And so, We're seeing a lot of that. Look, I think the turbulence will happen. Bad actors are going to play and do a lot of things. But I think there's also the other side of it. I think we have to take, in my world, I take a positive, optimistic look, right? Like, how much are we progressing and are we doing this? Like, in the healthcare space, it has provided a lot of,
yeah.
Like, I had a person, someone, I think it was in one of our meetups, who said, AI is really helping with the epilepsy that she had, and it's really helping her do a lot more work in a short period of time because of her,
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So people don't look at that. And I think that's a strong use case. Like, we do have a lot of folks around the world that have been impacted by something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where cognitively they need some help. And so yeah. AI has brought that to them. So, like, I always look at the good aspects and the good things that AI is bringing, especially in the healthcare space. We're seeing tremendous use cases where it's helped physicians make better decisions in some cases. In some cases, maybe not so much, right? But I think it's a continuous discussion, right? It's not, AI is not going to stop. We have to figure out and progress with it. It's not like, you know, and I think any discussion that we have around AI, I think we should definitely put a time bound to it, right? Like, people are like, oh, this is way too out in the future, but really could just happen next week. So it's like,
future's, you know, here yesterday. Yeah.
So really, when we're having these like broader discussions, like, I always, like, one of our community members always says, like, we definitely need to put some time boundaries. Like, are we talking 5 years from now? Or are we talking 10 years from now? Because if every 6 months we're getting an exponential stick in terms of change, right? There's no way we as humans can keep up with it, right? Yeah. And so, to me, it's just like, the only way to keep up with it is to stay current as much as possible. And look, I'm not an expert by no means. I just dive into these things because of, you know, I'm interested in these topics. But really, that's kind of how I keep up with it. It's just connecting with people, having the conversation, and really trying to push humanity forward because I know this is something that we have to prepare for now.
And being brave and curious.
Yeah. Being brave and curious is a critical factor.
Not getting completely. Part of my thing is, every time I look at it, I get so overwhelmed. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I just
much. I know there's so much, but for folks like yourself, and I've had other people as well, like, it's start small. Start with something, and just, I always say this, like, just start with ChatGPT, even if it's a free version, right? Mm-hmm. Start small and experiment, ask different things, ask what you're curious about, right? And the more you use it, and maybe consistent, right? It's like going to the gym. Like, if you're not consistent, you won't, you know, get the results you're looking for.
Okay, so that, what you just said, like, really struck something for me. So this is a thing, just like playing an instrument or going to the gym. It's not like Google search where you just go look up crap when you need to. But this is a skill you need to develop.
Yes.
Through practice, yes. Repetition, learning. Okay.
Yeah, so it is a skill, right? Like, today the skill might just be prompting, but prompt engineering goes away.
But you need that to get to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it might be even delegating tasks to an agent, right? But if I don't give the agent enough instructions or what to do, and if you don't know how that process works or you hadn't spent any time, it's going to be difficult, right? So it's like really start small. Just start by playing with ChatGPT. As simple as that. Like just, and maybe it, for different use cases, it doesn't have to be work related, right? Yeah. Like, you know, maybe make it fun. I've experimented with like creating songs to like, you know, lyrics to a song. I even use Suno.ai to create music for my community. So, you know, like it's crazy. Like we're there. Like you can just give it. Suno.ai is another AI like music creator app where you can just give it a prompt and it'll create a song for you with the music. You know, so times are really
a lot of possibilities. All right, so you've got some events coming up and stuff like that. So first of all, we should plug the course first. So people can go to the Scrum Alliance. Is it available to anybody or just to members?
It's available to anyone.
Okay. So I'll make sure we have a link to that. It's like takes, I think, two hours or so to get through. It was very, very well done. I was never bored. And I learned a ton. But you've got other stuff going on too.
Yeah. So I'd love to plug our AIAgile.org community. We meet every 2 weeks on a Friday, 11 to 12 PM Eastern. Everything's virtual. We're on Meetup. So we encourage everyone to join, different topics every time. We also have different companies coming in and demoing tools, which we're getting a list of folks to come in and showcase, especially in this vertical. The other thing is the AI Agile Summit we plan to have in June. That's a conference that we're putting virtually, bringing speakers from across the world, and bringing. But our main goal is to bring the AI community and Agile community together in one place to have discussions and how we can progress, and what are some of the things that we should look out for, and just stay current. And I think the summit for me is going to be something, a big thing for me, because it's like, I've always wanted to see, you know, both communities coming together, because I think AI community can really kind of see a lot of good things from us Agilists as well. And the Agile community can learn a lot from the AI community as well. So I think it's a great opportunity if you're anywhere in the world to tune into.
Okay.
And then so I think
hang on one second. Where do they find out about both of those things?
So the AIAgile.org meetup, if you just go to AIAgile.org, you should be able to sign up on Meetup. And then the AI Agile Summit is AIAgileSummit.com.
Okay.
And if you subscribe, we're just going to start tickets soon. And also finalizing our speakers. The call for speakers is open till end of March. So if you're interested in submitting a topic, please get those in. This will be the last one, last extension. So after that, we will be finalizing our speakers.
Okay.
But I'll also put in a plug for those of for Scrum Alliance, the New Orleans Global Scrum Gathering. I know there's plenty of AI to be discussed there, and I will be speaking there myself. Cool. So if do find out more on the Global Scrum Gathering, I know there's a lot of AI and Agile topics being covered there as well.
Cool. All right. And what if they want to get in touch with you? Like actually by hand, send you a manually written email constructed from their own brains?
Yeah. So if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, snehal.talati@bustaro.com.
Okay.
And if you want a faster reply, you can always DM me on LinkedIn. I'm probably the fastest on LinkedIn.
And your bots will respond quickly.
Yeah. There you go. Dave Ulrich figured out the trick.
Just wanted to help my parents with their computers. If I could just do that, it would all be fine. Cool. This was great, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. I'm going to check back in with you in a couple months because this was, it's been such a change since last time. So thank you for making time for this.
Absolutely. Thanks, cool. Dave.
And I'll see you in New Orleans.
Yes, I will see you in New Orleans.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Awesome. If you learn to work the old way, but the new way is what you need. My job's to make that switch from old to new.